God bless you, preacher. Glad to be here once again. Let's see. Why don't you turn to Galatians chapter 2, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 2. I've enjoyed the music all day long. It's been a tremendous blessing. Couldn't help but think I've been to a couple churches where I wished I could have taken that song leader with me. It would have helped those churches immensely during the first half hour there. I see three glasses. How do I figure out which one's mine? This one doesn't look like it's got too much in it. It should be okay. I got one. Oh, that one's mine. Oh, okay. Thank you. He's afraid to leave his up here now. Man. Well, all right. Want to talk a little bit about frustration tonight. Perhaps you know nothing about it. Perhaps you know a great deal about it. I was out in Arizona this past week where it was 80 degrees and wonderful nights and days and all of that, hanging around with some older folks. And a couple of them was telling me about their life, you know, a year ago, last September, I guess it was. We buried my father on what would have been my mom and dad's 70th wedding anniversary. So they made it 69 years, 51 weeks, one day, a few hours, and then we just claim it to be 70 years since they were together on their 70th at the funeral home, you know. So we just say they were married 70 years. But there was a couple old folks out here in Arizona, and they were talking, and his husband says, I was talking to my wife the other day, and I said to her, after all of these years, I've found you to be tried and true. And he said, my wife looked back at me and said, after all of these years, I'm a little tired of you too. Frustration sets in with all of us, you know. It's just something that happens, I guess. Galatians chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse number 4 the sake of time, as it's a little later than probably. Let's begin in verse number 18 of chapter 2. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For though I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There in verse 21, we find Paul saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God is an awesome, abundant, and adequate resource made available to each one of God's people. However, if you have, in the spirit of Valentine's, if you are married, we've come to know that husbands can frustrate their wives. We've come to know that children can frustrate their parents. If you were to do the poll with the children, I'm sure they would say parents frustrate children. Assistant pastors, although I'm sure this one would never do that, but assistant pastors can even frustrate their pastor once in a while. But I'm sure that would never happen here. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. How does God deal with us when we frustrate His grace? Now, I certainly do not believe that one person could stop the will of God or keep something sovereign from ever coming to pass. But I think we do discover that one person could slow down the will of God. One person could postpone blessings that might have been planned for God's people or God's church. And so, what frustrates the grace of God? when I do not work the works which God has before ordained for me, I frustrate the grace of God. Now let's look at verse 8 and 9 very quickly of our chapter to see what we're getting at. Verse 8 and 9 says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me," that's Paul, "toward the Gentiles." What we see then is that God had a work, a plan for Peter, and he had a plan for Paul. And they were certainly going to be able to work together, but in God's omnipotent wisdom there, he said, now, Peter is going to go to the Jews, and Paul's going to go to the Gentiles. A good work God had planned for them. Ephesians 2:10, which is the verse that follows the other verses that we all know, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Just as God said, "I have a plan for Peter and I have a plan for Paul," he would say, "I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for the Loomis Park Baptist Church. When I do not do the works which God has before ordained for me to do, I frustrate the grace of God." That frustration can occur sometimes because of good people and good things. The Bible tells us, having gifts differing according to the grace of God given to us, referring to spiritual gifts, which is a whole nother sermon, but nonetheless, God says, "I've given spiritual gifts to my people to work together in the work of God." However, sometimes those spiritual gifts, if they are not ministered under the leading of the Holy Spirit, can actually bring about conflict or frustration. If we had time, we would develop the story of the man who got run over in the church parking lot. Having gotten run over in the church parking lot, several people convened around him. One person who had the gift of mercy knelt down there in the snow and began to help them. Another man who had the gift of giving said, "Here's a check to be sure that the bills are covered." Another man said, "I don't know, I gotta have the witnesses. How did this happen and who's at fault?" Because he was had the gift of administration, you know, so he had to have all the facts. And on it could go. And if we're not careful, from time to time, our spiritual gifts could even put us at odds with one another while we're trying to do a great work for God. When I do not do the works which God has before ordained for me, I frustrate the grace of God. Paul said, "Wherefore I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision." He understood where God wanted him to go and what God wanted him to do. And he said, "I did it." And later in Acts chapter 26, he said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." So Paul was doing that work that God ordained for him to do. However, regarding him, in Colossians 4:14, the Bible says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." 2 Timothy 4:10 and 11, we read Paul saying, "Only Luke is with me. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He was not doing the work to which God had ordained for him to do. He quit somewhere along the way. He frustrated the grace of God because God had to intervene and do something else with that part of the plan. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." Now, some folks want to say, well, that's just who I am. You can take it or leave it. This is me. No, that's not what the verse said at all. Paul said the grace of God made him into the person God wanted him to be, and therefore God's grace was not bestowed in vain. We have to let God's grace do a work on our own heart and mind and spirit and attitude and all that goes with being a part of the church of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the admonition is, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I frustrate the grace of God when I do God's work my way instead of His way. That can happen. Someone says, here, I want to volunteer, I want to work, I want to serve, I want to be involved, great. Here's what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. Well, what about a little counsel, a little wisdom, a little prayer, a little thought? Could we back up and start over again? No, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is how I do it. I frustrate the grace of God when I do God's work my way instead of His way. We have great examples. Remember Moses? Moses had been leading the people of God, and that day came when the Lord said to Moses, strike that rock and bring out water for God's people, and he did. A little while later, people were mumbling and grumbling and complaining, all of that, and Moses got frustrated, and the Lord said to Moses, just speak to the rock and we'll give them water. But Moses was a little frustrated, and the Bible says he struck the rock a second time. He did God's work his way instead of God's way. Cost him a lot. Cost him his lifelong ambition of taking God's people to the promised land. It kept him from being able to enjoy that long-planned goal for his life because he did God's work his way instead of God's way. Think of Abraham and Hagar. They brought forth a son called Ishmael. Instead of waiting upon God to use Abraham and Sarah to bring forth Isaac, Abraham said, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do it my way because God's way doesn't seem to work like we thought it would. When I run ahead of God's will, which is what Abraham did, when I run ahead of God's will, I frustrate the grace of God. Then there was the church in the book of Acts. And the Lord said to the church, I want you to go throughout all Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and spread the gospel. The Bible says they all stayed in Jerusalem. Now they were doing a great work and they were serving God in the church and they were even building a pretty good church. But the idea was they were doing God's work their way instead of God's way. And so what happens? The Bible says God allowed much persecution to come into that church in Jerusalem until they were all scattered abroad, just like He wanted them to do in the very first place without all the persecution. When I do God's work my way instead of His way, I frustrate the grace of God. So like that church then, when I lag behind God's will, I frustrate the work of God. I don't want to run ahead of God's plan. I don't want to lag behind God's plan. I want to find out what God's plan is and walk with God and accomplish that work which He's called us to do. The Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. When I do God's work my way instead of His way, I frustrate the grace of God. I think about those disciples over in Luke chapter 9. They had been brought a young boy with from his father. His father brought him to the disciples and said, here's my son. He's been possessed of this demon for all of his life. And could you please cast him out and help him? And the Bible says in Luke 9:40, I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. The man went back and told the Lord Jesus, I was talking to your disciples. I asked them to cast out this demon out of my boy and help him, and they couldn't do it. Now, Jesus had already specifically sat down with those disciples and said to them, I'm giving you power over all of these things. But they couldn't cast him out. The problem here is there was no repentance on the part of the disciples. There was no sorrow on the part of the disciples. There was an inquiry, why couldn't we cast him out? And the Lord had to rebuke those disciples because they were not able to do the work that he had just said, I'm empowering you to go and do. Then in chapter 9 and verse 46 of Luke, those same disciples, the Bible says, there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest? Grown men. Gathering over here in a corner somewhere and discussing, which one of us do you think is really the greatest Christian here in this place? One thing you know, it wasn't anyone in that group right then, that day anyway, because the Lord said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. We don't need to exalt ourselves. When I do God's work my way instead of his way, I frustrate the grace of God. When I do not keep the lines of blessing open, I frustrate the grace of God. When I begin to live carnally, when I begin to be stubborn instead of spiritual, I'm going to frustrate the grace of God. Jesus said in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. Jesus said, I invited them to come, to gather around me, to listen to me, to be touched by me, but they would not. If we do not keep the lines of blessing open, we're going to frustrate the grace of God. Jeremiah 5:25 says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. The lines of blessing closed because of sin and stubbornness. He said in Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and the sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The lines of blessing were not open. He frustrated the grace of God. Someone else who frustrated the grace of God was a man called Jacob. In the book of Genesis, Jacob frustrated the grace of God many times. He did it when his mother got him aside and said, you go get some of these deer skins and put them on your arms and put them across your body there, and you go tell your father that you're his brother and get his blessing. He was frustrating the grace of God then. Then later on, when he and his brother had troubles, and he said to his mother, I'm going to go over here and stay with Laban a few days, and then I will return. He was frustrating the grace of God, and a few days turned into 20 years before he returned. Yes, we can slow down the will and plan of God. We can hinder some of the good things that God planned to do. If I do not keep the lines of blessing open, I frustrate the grace of God. Luke chapter 9:49, those same disciples we spoke of a while ago. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. Disciples with a bad spirit. They were doing the work of God. They didn't necessarily know each other. They were not one church, but apparently the Lord was pleased with this other crowd because the Lord said to them, forbid them not, for he that is not against us is with us. It wouldn't be so bad, but after the Lord said that, those same disciples 4 verses later said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Man, the Lord, those people are lucky. If he hadn't have been God, he just said, the whole bunch of you are fired. Go away. I'm going to start over again. Forbid them not. Would you like us to bring down fire from heaven and kill them? My goodness. And yet the Lord, patient as he was, he rebuked them. Yes, no doubt about that. But he kept them and he taught them and he brought them along. And that's kind of what God's probably had to do with you and I every once in a while, you know. When I do not have the faith to do right, I frustrate the grace of God. Matthew 13:58, in the city of Nazareth, the Bible says there, he, talking about Jesus, he did not many mighty works there because of his unbelief. It isn't that he didn't do many mighty works. He did a lot of mighty works, but he didn't do very many in Nazareth because of their unbelief. What a shame to think that God had a plan to do many mighty works and his church wasn't open to following him and walking with him and accomplishing something great. God's called a good preacher here. And he's gathered some good people together. But there still has to be that element of faith, that element of love, that element of service, that element of trying not to frustrate the grace of God as God would put it forth in his people. We give him our time and our talents and our treasures because we believe by faith that one day we will be glad that we did. There will come that day when we will be glad. I frustrate the grace of God when I do not use the resources that God has left here for me to use. The resource of prayer to obtain blessings. The Lord said, you have not because you ask not. Of all the reasons not to have the blessing of God, that's got to be the worst thing to think of that would be the excuse. You didn't ask. You didn't pray. You didn't seek my face. We frustrate the grace of God when we do not use the resources he's left for us. His infallible, inspired word, so we can have the wisdom of God. His Holy Spirit, so we can have direction. Wise, godly counsel from godly men and women for decision making. And the fellowship of spiritual brethren for encouragement. We frustrate the grace of God if we do not use the resources he has left for us. When I reject God's plan of salvation by grace, I frustrate the grace of God. Because Jesus is the divine substitute for me. And if I reject him, there is no other substitute to die in my place. The blood of Christ is the divine covering for sin. And if I reject the blood, there is no other covering capable of blotting out my sins. The grace of God is the only way I can stand before him. When I reject his grace, all of my works are going to be burned up and I will have nothing to commend me to God. Faith is the only acceptable virtue that I can offer to him. When I have no faith, I have nothing to commend me to God. In closing, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, the Bible says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? So, 1 sparrow must have been worth a half a farthing. Then, In Luke 12:6, after that, the Lord said, one of these sparrows shall not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it. In Luke 12:6, he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Now, if one sparrow was worth a half a farthing, then you should get 4 for 2 farthings. But the Lord said, here's a fifth one. But the amazing thing is that one apparently had no use or value of all. But it says, not one of them, not even that fifth one, not one of them is forgotten of your heavenly Father. Sometimes we wonder, what is my value? What is my worth? What does God really think? One thing about it, if you equal a sparrow that's worth nothing, God takes notice of you. Even one of them does not fall to the earth without God taking notice. And so, yes, he concludes those stories by saying, are not you more valuable than the sparrows? And indeed you are. We need to be sure that we are not frustrating the grace of God in God's work. Shall we bow our heads?